Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, helping you maneuver through this dystopia. It's episode number 290 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag updates you on Longhorns at the Olympics. At 12:30, we're speaking with the great Tyler Campbell. And in mere minutes, Simone Biles pulls out of the Olympics altogether. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. I've got three things to start with today. A, I'm a little sad to hear that we're just moving to a regular dystopia, but Trey is only reacting to the world at large and apparently CDC stuff. Not CDC, but the CDC. So disappointed to hear dystopia, but on the other side of things, what I just witnessed was radio professionalism at its best. My man Trey just pulled off a hell of an athletic feat. I'm a little sad that the Twitch cameras are not positioned to have caught it, but Trey ran in this room, grabbed a mic puff, ran back out of the room, ran around and where he is, got done perfectly. He never took a breath. He never stopped. That was well done, sir. Good lung capacity. You are in good shape.
Good lung capacity, except I was teetering on the brink of petering out throughout the intro.
I believed in the whole thing. Well done there. Great to see you. Great to see you as always. And see, the third thing today, and I've really buried the lead because it's the most important thing. How do you like the new t-shirt you bought me, the Pike's Peak Strange World Where Darth Vader is a Moose shirt? How do you like it?
It looks good.
Yeah?
The shirt itself is good, obviously. I'm not going to buy you a shirt that I think is ugly. I mean, it's Pike's Peak. It represents the Star Wars franchise, which is something that you're obviously a big fan of.
No doubt.
And I had questions as to whether or not you were going to fit properly into the large.
I know.
That I estimated for you.
Me too.
But it looks good.
Okay, good.
You're about to get accused by some people of going the schmedium route, like I like to. I like my shirts fitting a little bit tighter, but when you got the bod of a Chad Hastings, a 2021 Chad Hastings, you can get away with it.
Right. That's what we need. We need to talk slow when we say that. This will now become one of those test shirts that we always talk about. You've talked about some of the underwear you have that lets you know if you've added an LB. This is going to be one of those shirts that lets me know if I've added an LB.
And what that underwear has turned into, they're literally the two last pairs of underwear that I will wear if I'm that far behind on laundry. But if I'm ever feeling like I really want to motivate myself to lose some weight, I'll put that underwear on. Because even at my thinnest, even if I'm in the mid to low 160s, which I'm rarely there.
How dare you say those numbers out loud. Come on.
Hey, it's been about 5 years since I've been to that point. But
right.
If and when I even get there, that underwear still feels a little bit small. So we all need those motivators, Chad.
Yeah, we do.
And now you have a shirt that's going to help you out if you ever start getting fat again.
Darn right. I've already gotten a compliment on the shirt today because it is a wonderful, dad on vacation t-shirt. It's going to make me always feel like I'm on vacation because nothing says vacation like, hey, is Darth Vader a moose and Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia a fox on your shirt? Yes, that's exactly what's happening. So you can't be you can't be accused of taking life too seriously if you're wearing this particular shirt. So if you want to check us out on Twitch, you can see the shirt today. It is Shirts and Skins after all. So sometimes we do focus on the shirts we are wearing. If you go to hornfm.com, you can find the Twitch stream. Trey mentioned it in the intro. Coming up here at 12:30, he is the legendary Tyler Campbell. That's right. He is the son of Earl Campbell. He is so much more than that. He is the host of Real Life, Real Talk Saturdays at noon here on the station. If you haven't heard that and you need a little motivation, he is the guy to bring it to you. You will feel motivated. You might feel it's motivation. It's a little bit of there's a little pulpit to it. But it's your, you know, it's a, there's a positive pulpit going on. There's motivation going on. There's teaching going on. It's great energy. You'll hear it coming out of Tyler at 12:30. They're doing a special event, a panel discussion about MS from multiple perspectives. Tyler Campbell years ago was diagnosed with MS. He's been living with it ever since. He's been dealing with it. He's been talking to people about it. And Trey, he's been helping others understand how to live with this disease.
Tyler Campbell is one of the most authentic, is that a word? Authentic?
Authentic?
There we go. Authentic, yeah. Positive people that I've ever met.
Yep.
I mean, what you hear coming out of his mouth and what you see when you have the honor of interacting with him, and it is an honor, is legit. He is just 100% pure. He's a great human being, and he and his family put a lot of work in to help raise money for the cause of MS, for research to help those who live with MS, and it's commendable, and it's going to be a pleasure to get to speak with them here coming up in about 25 minutes.
If you want to get a jump start on the conversation, you can go to proplayerfoundation.org to start to get some of that info. But we'll tell you about Tyler, his dad, and some other dignitaries getting together tomorrow night for this panel discussion over on the UT campus.
I'm guessing Tyler knows how Earl feels about Texas to the SEC.
Oh, can you imagine? That's another thought process we haven't really gone into, is the legends. What do they think? What do the legends at Texas and Oklahoma think of an SEC, you know, trip, whether it is an, it is Earl Campbell or it's Billy Sims or, you know, it's
Vince.
Yeah, what does VY think of it? That's a great one to bring. I saw VY at the dedication ceremony over at Moody. Our man Stu Myrick was over there for the raising of the last beam. And yeah. Signed the last beam. A whole bunch of people got to sign the last beam and everything. Vince was over there along with Chris Obanaya and some others.
Ricky.
What does Ricky think? What does Brian Bosworth think? What does, you know, Dan Hampton?
Troy Davis.
Troy Davis.
Well, I guess he's an Iowa State guy, so he's probably not.
No. I don't know. I was going to say, what? I don't know what Troy Davis thinks, but it's interesting. He's thinking Big Ten right now is what he's thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
So Texas and Oklahoma and those thoughts, we'll get into that, see if he's talked to his dad about the SEC. But Tyler Campbell coming up at 12:30. We'll definitely get into some football talk. There's a lot floating around the NFL in regards to COVID, vaccines, guys that show up to camp you didn't think would show up to camp. So we'll get into some of that. I'll get you an Olympics update in the crap bag, but we will start with an Olympics update as well. We left the show yesterday having talked a little bit about Simone Biles and the gymnastics competition. Let's face it, it's one of the big-time competitions at every Olympics, men's and women's gymnastics, but lately it has really felt like it is the women's gymnastics side of it that really gets the focus. I don't remember the last time the men's team got any kind of badass focus at the Olympics. For some reason, it's been the women these last few years.
The men are just as impressive, though. I think it's probably because there is, I don't want to call it sexist, but there is the appeal of seeing attractive women do athletic things. And I know that sounds superficial, but that's probably part of the logic that has women's gymnastics more popular than men's.
And it's probably also the combo of the generic sports fan does not look at men's gymnastics as manly. That stereotypical sports fan might still see men's gymnastics as, I'm not going to say sissy, that's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost viewed as a feminine activity to some, and therefore, watching a man do it doesn't interest them.
You may be right about that. If that is your viewpoint and you're listening right now, it's an ignorant viewpoint, because those guys can do stuff that no other professional athletes can.
Absolutely. No, it's incredible. It is incredible. When it comes to men's gymnastics, I dig the floor exercise either way, either gender. But with the men, anything that has the handles, I'm watching. Mm-hmm. The pommel horse and the rings are the two things that they flip me out doing.
We were at my kids' gymnastics last night, and there's always a boys' group. And I want to say it's like a teenage boys group that is working on gymnastics as well. I was just mesmerized by them doing the pommel horse and then the bars. They weren't doing the rings yesterday, but they were doing those other things.
The parallel bars.
The parallel bars.
For the men.
Even the teenage kids doing those bars and doing stuff that probably would be considered fairly rudimentary by most Olympians is still impressive as hell to see in person.
So, obviously, the women's gymnastics was a big deal going into the Olympics because of one person, Simone Biles. It wasn't about a group like a few years ago, a few Olympics ago. It's because Simone has been able to carve out this incredible career. It's 20 to somewhere between 20 and 30, I think, combined gold medals she has if you go world championships and the Olympics. And she had a shot at 6 gold medals. And it's silly to say that out loud, but she's that good. So anyway, yesterday we told you about the all-around, or excuse me, the team competition, where she went through one rotation on the vault, then went away with, initially some were calling it a medical issue, then she was asked about it, and basically it was a mental health issue for her in that she just didn't feel right. Something wasn't right, something was off, and she was bad. She was getting stuff deducted. The vault was one of the worst in that round, in that rotation, like third or fourth worst among all the people there. It was that awful.
Mm-hmm.
And really pulled that. Overall, it ended up contributing to that team score being pulled down, and they were still in the second place position. So to update a little bit of that, Trey, after watching it, we talked about it without having seen the event. Some of the stuff that I've heard discussed is once the vault was over and they were in second place, those that knew the math of that sport knew that the chances of them overtaking the Russian team and getting the gold were very low at that point.
Right.
Extremely low. So on that side of it, there's that discussion. The other side of it is, remember, this is one of the weirdest events in sports because it is a, not just judged, it's a triple judged event. They have three panels of judges that do this. There's one particular judge on how hard it is to do. There's a set of judges on how well did you do it. And then there's a third set of judges that double check the first two set of judges.
Jeez.
That's all happening now in gymnastics. So if Simone Biles knows she's going to be laying eggs, then she knows throughout the rest of the competition, they will have to take that egg laying and throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because only your highest scores are allowed, but they're throwing out your low stuff. So if she puts a complete hunk of garbage out there, you could argue, well, they know they're going to throw it out. Right, but she doesn't want her, like, their lowest score shouldn't be that bad,
mm-hmm.
and so it's going to pull the whole score down. So I did hear an argument among gymnastics folks last night that had she kept going at that level and putting those kind of performances out there, it could have also pulled them out of the silver. They could have dropped based on that. So off of that thinking, maybe her thought could have been, I can't ruin this chance for my teammates. Let's see if they can do it, because for some reason, I just can't do it right now. And in some way, that could actually be better for the team, and it sort of helped them get silver. That's an argument I heard last night.
The argument makes sense, but at the same time, I think you still have to try and figure out a way to find some sort of inner strength to acquire the resilience that's necessary to compete in any sport, but especially at that level. I mean, that's a big part of sports. It's a big part of life, is overcoming self-doubt. And yeah, the stakes are much higher when you're talking about gymnastics versus, I don't know, doing a 3-hour radio show every day.
Right.
As you and I come into this office some days and we don't necessarily feel great about what's going on with our respective days, but we still suck it up and do our show. But gymnastics is different because there is so much more on the line, including, even though it wasn't a physical health issue here, it can affect your physical health. At the same time, I don't know how good it is for us as a society as a whole to just embrace this idea of just quitting because
right.
you're not doing something well, or you have this self-doubt, or you're feeling this level of pressure. There are ways for you to alter what it is that you're doing or what it is that you're supposed to be doing involving these various routines. And you can take the level the level of danger down. And she tried that with the vault, and it was still an ugly outcome, unfortunately.
Right.
So ultimately, this is her decision. And you have to respect her decision one way or the other. But I just worry that we're starting to become too accepting of those who are just choosing to quit something that they're in the middle of because they don't feel very good about things.
It's a weird thing because I heard the announcers talk about, and they cover gymnastics for a living, and they talked about gymnasts over the years having little mental blocks, little mental lapses, little mental, you know, things that go on because the mental part of that sport, it can't be denied. The fact of the margins for error, it's almost like swimming, right? The mental side of swimming when it all comes down to little bitty things. So what, you know, what they all go through.
The mental side is maybe, for world-class athletes, the most difficult part of things.
Sure. Yeah, right. A very difficult aspect of it. But, you know, there's the danger element, you know, you don't want her putting, if she was in a situation, and some of the stuff she said where it's like, she said, I don't trust myself at one point, I think. And she said, I don't want to do anything stupid. And then it was just like the idea that an athlete at that level could all of a sudden say, wait, I don't trust what's going on here. And she tried to work it out earlier where they'd gone through a preliminary round, they'd gone through practice rounds, and everyone watching her was commenting. This didn't just happen on one vault. That's the other thing maybe to flesh out for people is the discussion among gymnastics folks was something's up with Simone. Something's not quite right. She got penalized, Trey. She got like major deductions for her, major deductions on every apparatus in the prelims. All of them, all four. I think there are four of them, four or five. And so stepped out of bounds on the floor. And every single one, there was something. And everybody just kind of looked at it and went, oh, there's something a little off. Like it's not quite, you know, it's not Simone. And her level, obviously, is a whole nother thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was trying to figure that out. And the fascinating part of this for me, because, you know, I try not to be too extreme one way or the other. I don't want to go so, you know, extreme, oh, my God, she's a no good quitter. And I also don't want to go extreme, oh, my God, she's brave and courageous, because I don't know that either of those things are accurate. Somewhere in the middle, though, there's a discussion about the athletes themselves. Hook it up to Naomi Osaka. This is a version of athlete that is dealing with stuff that athletes haven't had to deal with over the years. Everything that's put together with social media and a lot of other stuff. Like, through the process, she went on social media and tweeted out or Instagrammed out or something about saying, you know, I'm just not myself. I'm just not feeling it or something like that. And it occurred to me as an old man, admittedly, a 46-year-old man who doesn't take pictures of my food and send them to everybody, to ask the question of, is part of what's causing these issues the phone itself, Simone? Is part of your connection to that world also affecting you in a way you're not thinking about? Because
paying too close attention to the noise?
Are you paying too much attention to the positive and the negative?
Yeah.
Because if...
it's all noise. You're right about that. Positive or negative, it is all a distraction.
Because every day before I start doing this show, if I had 500 comments on social media that said, you suck, you're no good, and you should never do it, we could all understand how that might affect the way I think about it. But if every single day I had 500 people saying, man, we believe in you, you can get this done, this is, and then eventually I build it up the other way and go, man, there's a lot of people counting on me. Oh my God, what if I let all these people down? What if, like, there's so much of it coming in. Is it possible that she's experiencing this information overload while trying to carry the entire Olympics, in a way, on her shoulders?
You know what she has? She has gymnastics yips. She has what Chuck Knobloch has gone through in his baseball career. Who's another one? Rick Ankiel, another one of those guys.
Steve Sachs was the first one we heard about.
Lost it as a pitcher. Steve Sachs. There's been professional golfers who have suffered through the yips.
Oh, absolutely.
With the putter in hand.
Is it Ian Woosnam? Was that one of the guys that went through it? Or Ian Woosnam or Ian Baker Finch, one of those guys?
I'm not recalling the name. You may be right about one of those two. But this happens in sports from time to time. And it does take time to work through whatever's going on psychologically to get it back. Yeah. And unfortunately for Simone Biles, she started to experience this on the eve of the Olympics, and it continued into the Olympics. And we've watched a number of these athletes who suffer from the yips try to work their way through it on the field, and usually it takes an extended break if they are even able to get it back. In Rick Ankiel's case, he had to switch positions altogether. Yeah. He had to become an outfielder.
And was pretty successful at it.
And was very successful. He had an all-star appearance, I believe.
He's a hell of a story, man. He is an incredible story.
He's a heck of a story. But did Chuck Knoblauch ever get a back? I don't know if he did.
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
John Lester is a guy who has the yips when it comes to throwing to first base on bunts.
Yeah.
He has to underhand the ball to the first baseman to get it there.
And there's a mental aspect to that and a thing there. There's a sports psychology part of that discussion. Yeah.
It's just fascinating that it's happened to somebody who going into these Olympics was roundly called the Michael Jordan of gymnastics, the greatest to ever compete in this physical activity. And she's suffering like this to the degree that she had to quit in the middle of a team competition and pull out of the individual competition just a couple days later. And this was after she quit yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it technically is over in Tokyo, and still planned on competing on Thursday. Now that's not happening either.
Right. Now she was going to try to give that a shot. That is the update for today. She is out of the individual all-around competition. That's where two athletes from each team go on every apparatus, and you're trying to get ultimately one gold, silver, or bronze. Her teammate, Jade Carey, is now going to fill in for her because you can't have more than two from any one country. So it's going to be Sunisa Lee, who was already in, and Jade Carey will now be the other athlete for America.
Social media is such a harmful thing. The weird thing for me in talking about this, Chad, is as screwed up as the 1980s and early 90s were to grow up in and just how backwards they were and how we as a society were trying to figure some things out. And I think that overall we do a much better job in 2021. There was a basic lesson that was burned into my brain by my parents and the brains of so many other kids from that generation that is, look, you don't freaking quit in the middle of something. You see that process through. And if you want to give it up after that, you give it up after that. But when you are in the middle of something, a competition, a season, something like that, you don't quit. I'm sorry, that's just not an option for you. And that certainly, that attitude, that black or white thinking on that has needed to change. But at the same time, I think that the basic principle does still exist. And so there are always exceptions to that rule. Is Simone Biles an exception? Or is she somebody that needed to figure out a way to pull it together enough to continue competing for her team two nights ago and then deciding to drop out before the individual competition?
Yeah, I think the competition itself does come into play. We'll continue to talk about this throughout the show. Let us know what you think. Specs text line 337-3776. Lots of folks with opinions on Simone Biles. Let's try to be respectful to it, but it is a fascinating conversation about what has happened. Hopefully she will, because I believe she's qualified for, I think it's maybe every apparatus or at least two of them in the individual stuff. That's not till next week. Maybe she can get the head cleared and kind of get in a good space before then. We shall see. But she's out of the individual all around, which technically would come up tomorrow in Tokyo. So we'll continue to talk about that story. We've got our normal conversation with Justin Wells coming up at 105, talking Longhorns and that possible trip to the SEC. Just need the SEC to vote at this point. But up next, it is Tyler Campbell talking about Pro Player Foundation and this panel discussion about MS from multiple perspectives. Tyler Campbell, Earl Campbell, and some other folks getting together. Tyler will tell us about it up next on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
What do you got, Trey?
This is a band that goes by the name Child, and there are three I's in Child, and the song is called Weightless.
Come on, man, that's not real. Child with three I's?
That's the new trend with the kids and misspelling things. It has been, you're taking a vowel out of the word, but apparently now we're adding the same vowel. We're repeating vowels in
Fantastic.
Words.
Fantastic. All capitalized, all not capitalized? Where are we on that?
No, actually, capitalizing the C and everything else is lowercase.
All right, fair enough.
So the capitalization or lack thereof is correct. It's just the spelling is wacky.
All right, new music today, or are you just grabbing general random
music.
Stuff?
Yeah, new music
for you. So if you're interested in child, you can check them out at your leisure.
Child,
yes, that's good. So if you want to go to the concert, that would be child, please, if you need the tickets. Is that what you say outside the show if you're scalping? There's my old man joke of the day.
If you want to.
Child, please. Okay. And then nobody lets you in, especially me. That would not get in with that joke. All right. Justin Wells of Inside Texas is coming up a little later on. I'll get you a Longhorn update. We got Longhorns looking for history at the Olympics. Actually, one of them just got it, and one of them's about to get it. We'll tell you who they are coming up. But right now, we'll go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline to tell you about a very special event. It is so special, they got three words at the top of the board, and it's educate, elevate, and collaborate. And I only know one guy who can do all three of those things, and he's definitely going to be a part of it. He is Tyler Campbell. You can go to ProPlayerFoundation.org to find out more about this information, or you can just pay attention right now, because Tyler Campbell is about to share it with you. Tyler, how are you?
Man, child, please. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad y'all went over that, because for me, I was like, well, how do you say it? Is it child? I was trying to, so y'all smooth that over perfectly. Hey, Trey always coming with the new hits, man.
Hey,
dropping the new smash singles before they are.
You know what? We're so old now, those band name conversations are just complicated. Like, what do you mean, let's put three I's in the middle? What? What is that's crazy. Oh,
hey,
man.
It just doesn't cut it. I hear you.
It is great. Yeah, that's right. When do you put three I's in your band name when one won't do? You got to have three. I get it. All right. So, Tyler Campbell, we have talked to you many times. People hear you on Real Life, Real Talk Saturdays at noon, and they love the show. You're always motivating. You're always talking about your life experience, and part of your life experience is MS. And this panel discussion is about MS from multiple perspectives. Lay this out for us, what people can experience tomorrow night at 6:30.
Yeah, and I'm like you guys. You know, we've been on so many Zooms and so many different discussions and so many different things. For me, and being at Pro Player Foundation, we wanted to try to do something different. You know, why not have a panel discussion with all different perspectives? That way it's not just one-sided with a doctor. You have somebody who has MS, myself and Sarah Garcia, we're patient advocates. You have it from the perspective of my father. I'm someone who is a caretaker or a parent of someone who has MS. What does that look like? What questions do they have? What things do they need to navigate through? And then, of course, you have the professional perspective with two of the top neurologists in the country. So we didn't just bring anybody, you know what I'm saying? I brought Michael Jordan and Kobe off the bench, you know what I'm saying, with Dr. Edward Fox and Dr. Annette Okai in terms of sports analogies, right, so people can know who these individuals are. But there's just a greater need of education. Multiple sclerosis is spreading across the board. It is really taking off in underserved rural area communities as well as the Latino and Black community. And we need to educate, because faster diagnosis with multiple sclerosis, guys, can ultimately help save somebody's life and keep their body. When I look at my own intangible and my walk, it is the early diagnosis that I ultimately was able to receive that helped me get a hold of this disease. That's what helped me be, I feel, able to be the first one to play Division I college football with MS. And so the more discussion we can have within these populations, within these communities of individuals, it can lead to a faster diagnosis and can help people get, you know, the care that they need with MS. And that's kind of my challenge and my mission with this discussion, guys.
Tyler, one of the things that's always struck me about your story is, you know, I like the angle of having a parent a part of this conversation. Now, this particular parent happens to be a legend in a particular field, but we've seen that before. We've seen that in sports. And one of the things it can put a light on is a guy like, I'm thinking of, you know, Jim Kelly and some of the things he's been through. And I'm thinking of Boomer Esiason and his child and those stories we hear about athletes that we all know that are going through real life, everyday stuff. So I think it would be really fascinating if I'm a Longhorn fan to know, what does one of my goats, what does Earl Campbell think when he finds out this about his son? How do they go about dealing with it? And how, you know, what's his perspective on it? I think that's particularly interesting for a Longhorn fan, but also to fathers and kids out there.
Absolutely, and that was the home run. I think everybody for me, and when you listen into the panel, when you hear Pop talk, I think you take off the sports guy for a second, and you get to tap into who Earl Campbell is just as a father, you know, and caring for a child. And I think that's something we all can relate to if we are fathers or if we are parents. And the way your heart would leap for your child if they've gone through something and are going through something, I think what my father will open up is his heart towards this, and people were able to see just how much he hopped in and played a very, very pivotal role in my recovery when I was in a wheelchair with multiple sclerosis, and how my dad, even though he went through what he was going through, the back surgeries, all the stuff that he was battling, how he literally made himself available and was with me every step of the journey. And that's it. You know, it's he's that guy, but at the end of the day, man, he's a husband, he's a father, he's a brother, he's an uncle, he's a grandfather. And I think we can all relate, and where does your heart go towards the people you love and care about when they are in desperate and dire times of need, you know?
Yep.
Tyler, your dad is also a Texas Longhorns fan. Have you talked to him at all about the Longhorns' seemingly imminent move to the SEC?
Man, I actually have. You know, I want to know, one of the things that my dad is most excited about is to be able to play the Aggies again.
Yeah.
He's really, really excited about that. I think, you know, I haven't been able to speak with him as much in depth around all the things that are going to start happening now that these moves are taking place. But I think overall, his competitive spirit is, if you want to be the best, you have to line up and play the best day in and day out. And he's like, well, we want to be the best, and this is Texas, so let's go to where the best are, and let's go dominate. You know, he was even telling me, because we used to live in the same neighborhood as the swim coach back in the day, and he's like, if you think about swimming for the breakdown of the Big 12, swimming doesn't necessarily get to face as much competition within conference as, you know, the Pac-12 or, you know, the SEC, because the SEC has picked up in swimming a lot more. He's like, man, there's going to be some greater competition for swimming in conference now. And I was like, man, look at this guy. He knows other stuff outside of football. You know, he's excited. He's excited because he really feels like it's an opportunity to prove that we are Texas, you know, and he wants to match up against the best just like any competitive person would, you know.
So, Trey Elling, I'm not saying you and I are on the right side of the conversation, but I am going to say, if Earl Campbell thinks that Texas should play the Aggies, Texas should play the Aggies. I'm just saying. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
you have to look at it, man. That's something that old school, I guess, he really misses seeing the rivalry.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, that's the only thing that I can come up with. I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I guess it really, that was one of the first things he said.
Yeah.
And I guess he really misses it, guys.
Yeah, he should miss it. We all miss it. I mean, it should matter. And I love the idea that it's coming back, even if it took the SEC to get them back together. Let's remind everybody, again, this is tomorrow evening, 6:30. The panel is a discussion about MS from multiple perspectives. And like Tyler told you, it's his perspective. It's his dad's perspective. Of course, the great Earl Campbell. It's also, another patient perspective. It's a couple of elite doctors talking about their perspectives as well. So, Tyler, for people interested here, this ultimately happens over on campus, but are we directing people to the website here? Is there some kind of a stream they're going to be able to watch? Tell them how they can deal with this.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody, it's virtual. The panel, we're going to have it at University of Texas, but, you know, just trying to keep everybody safe and with everything going on. So everybody visit ProPlayerFoundation.org. Matter of fact, if you go there now, you'll see there's a countdown clock. Well, when the show starts at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, that there will actually be the live feed
cool.
that is taking place there. And you will watch everything from that standpoint. And hey, even if you miss it, guess what? You'll come back later. And that live feed will turn into an embedded video that will always be there. So there are always going to be opportunities for you to see this video. It is that much importance within the MS community. We also are going to have a giveaway. So what you want to stay attention to when you see it on the website, we have Brad Paisley boots. that we are giving away.
Wow.
We have Earl Campbell signed Houston Oilers Love Your Blue jersey that we are also giving away. There's no money involved. It is just a part of the show. And so all we need you to do is sign up with your email, and we will raffle off the person who wins the boots and the person who wins, you know, the jersey.
So nice.
The incentive there. So, you know, Dad loves country music, so we had to throw those Brad Paisley boots off in there, guys.
That is awesome. I bet Brad Paisley about knocked somebody over getting those boots to Earl Campbell. Can you imagine? Wait. Earl Campbell and Earl and Tyler need some boots. Will you get out of the way and let me send them the boots, please?
Hey, guys, it's just funny how, you know, you just never know. That's the thing I love about, you know, my father in that era. And Chad, you're older, so you understand, man. You know, people in sports, there are relationships that are there. And people can remember, you know, the days of Earl Campbell and this and this and what their parents used to see. I think that's always just so that's always so fascinating to me. Dad ain't never met Brad Paisley a day in his life, guys.
Right. Oh, yeah. But I guarantee you, because Brad Paisley, there's not many people Brad Paisley could meet that would make him nervous. He's a big time country musician, and he's played in front of thousands and thousands of people. And I guarantee you, if he was at lunch today and your dad walked in, he'd freak out. He would freak out.
Hey, man. Well, listen, guys, I love the show, man. I thank you guys for genuinely doing this for the multiple sclerosis community. Our family really just want to showcase to y'all our side and how much at Pro Player Foundation we are really after making as much awareness about this as possible and bringing forth the right information for people within these communities who don't necessarily get the help that they want, or there may be some fears, there may be anxiety, and we're just coming to suppress all of that through you know, real information and be able to give it to people in a free way.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff, man. We're glad to help you promote it. Again, it's proplayerfoundation.org. Find out all the information, and then like Tyler said, tomorrow, 6:30, the feed will pop up for you, and you can check out that awesome virtual event and maybe get a shot. You'll have a shot at those boots and the jersey he mentioned if you're interested there. Tyler, we always appreciate the time, and this weekend on Real Life Real Talk, if you could maybe mix in a little child, they would appreciate it if you could.
Hey, I love you guys. Great show, man. Y'all take care.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Tyler.
Tyler Campbell. See, that's a good story right there. There aren't many people that could just get Brad Paisley to give him boots. But when Earl Campbell asks, you say yes.
Yeah, you
and
do.
Can you imagine being a Love You Blue Oiler fan? Look, I'm Cowboys guy, so it's not my thing.
Can I imagine?
Can you imagine? Because that's you, right? That's you still have that. Dude, you need to register your email. I think you're allowed, even though we're promoting this event. You need to register your email. You might end up with a signed Earl Campbell Love You Blue jersey.
It definitely got my ears to perk up.
A signed 34?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Thanks to Tyler for letting us know about it. Tyler Campbell, Earl Campbell, and the crew tomorrow night talking about MS from multiple perspectives. Tyler is an amazing inspiration when it comes to that, and so glad to hear you know, him talk about things like early detection on something like MS and how important that was for him. Hopefully that can inspire others to have that same experience if they do encounter MS. All right, 1 o'clock, it's Justin Wells of Inside Texas. Longhorns in the process of heading towards the SEC, but when could it happen? Also, Justin's thoughts, 38 days away from Texas and Louisiana. Up next in the crap bag, I get you some Longhorn updates. One Longhorn making history and one Longhorn trying to make some history at the Olympics. We've had some bad Olympic news. I got good Olympic news for you coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Grabbing some new music for you today on a Wednesday. What do you got, Trey?
This is La Luz, and the song is called Watching Cartoons.
La Luz, like L-A-S-O-L-A-L-O-S-E?
L-A space L-U-Z, which I believe is Spanish for light.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. La Luz. All right, new music for you on this Wednesday. Thanks to Tyler Campbell for jumping in, talking about that Pro Player event. Remember, ProPlayerFoundation.org for more info on the virtual event tomorrow night. Talking about MS from multiple perspectives. Also, speaking of tomorrow, you can join the Triple Option with Brad and Kevin and, it's not Rod because Rod's got a little time off because he's about to get married. Join Brad and Kevin live tomorrow at the San Marcos Total Men's Primary Care. They're celebrating their grand reopening. Check out the details at hornfm.com on the events page. And all the best to Rod Babers. Finally tying a knot. How about that?
Is he out as of today or tomorrow?
As of today. I believe yesterday was his last day for about a week. He's kind of taking the midweek and Wednesday to Wednesday, I think.
Good for them. I am very jealous of them getting to spend time in Lake Tahoe this time of year, especially after being in the mountains myself a week and a half ago.
Yeah, how about that for a wedding venue? I've attended a wedding in the mountains of Colorado, and when you can work it just right and you have the backdrop of your wedding as mountains, like in a badass mountain scene, that's tough to beat. Obviously, a beach is something people think about immediately, mm-hmm. which you were able to do. But those two things to me stand out. If you're going outside, you're going to try to make it a cool destination thing. If you can work those two, that's pretty cool backgrounds for the rest of your life.
So having gone through my own wedding on the beach and been to a wedding of my former Oregon roommate that was literally at the top of Mount Ashland.
Wow.
I probably vote beach wedding. But the mountaintop wedding was awesome.
They're pretty cool, yeah.
And takes less booze to get drunk when the reception is on a mountaintop, Chad.
Hey, that's true, right? Where's the open bar? 5,000 feet. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Let's give it a shot. All right. Thanks again to Tyler for his time. Justin Wells is coming up at 1. The continuing story of Texas and Oklahoma headed to the SEC. It would appear they've asked for membership and requested membership, and now it's up to the SEC to vote at some point and figure out if it's going to happen, and then can they figure out a way for it to happen before 2025, or maybe more appropriately, does the Big 12 and those remaining teams, in a way, help them to have it happen before 2025 if they break up before then? So we'll get into all that stuff with Justin Wells. Right now, though, let's get into the crap bag. There's some Longhorn news at the Olympics. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. I am going to argue that there's nothing but good news as far as the USA side. Nothing but good news in the 1,500-meter freestyle in women's swimming. Because, A, they've never had it before. It's the first time they ever had the race, and that's pretty cool, brand new. B, Katie Ledecky got back on track after Titmus took her out in that previous event. Katie Ledecky wins the first ever 1,500-meter freestyle event. She wins the gold medal. If I'm reading correctly, that is the 250th gold medal for U.S. swimming as a group. I guess that's men and women. Wow. I'm not sure if that's men and women or just the women's team, but on some count, it's 250 gold medals. I know Katie's got to be thrilled to get that one. But, Trey, that's not only why it's good news there. The silver medalist in this race was a young woman named Erica Sullivan. She should be important to you and every Longhorn listening because she is an incoming freshman at Texas. Now, she's 20, so she's a little on the older side for a freshman. Mm. For whatever reason.
Oh, you know, she's probably focusing on making the Olympics.
Probably been swimming. Yeah, you know. And apparently she does that well. She finished second, and it is historic because a UT women's swimmer has not medaled in the Olympics since 2004.
Wow.
Been a little while.
Surprising considering how much success the men's team has had.
Exactly.
Over that span.
I was surprised as well. But congratulations to Erica. If you are a Texas swim fan, you're going to get to see Erica perform here in town and around their schedule coming up in this next year and maybe a couple more after that. So congrats to Erica for that. Also, speaking of Longhorns, I know he's become kind of a villain in this world, but I'll give him credit for the history chase. Kevin Durant, former Longhorn, is chasing down some history. U.S. did bounce back, finally, from their issues they've been having. After losing to France, I believe it was, they beat Iran 120-66. That feels like an Olympics basketball game. Kevin Durant, I think, had 10 points. This is the kind of game you don't exactly have to go balls to the wall and score 35. I think he had 10 in the game, but Trey, that puts him 5 points away from reaching the overall mark. He will become the all-time leading scorer in U.S. Olympic basketball history with his, what, 5 will tie it, I guess, and then 6 would get him the record all by himself.
Good for him.
Have you seen who it is? Do you have a guess on who it might be? Who has the all-time scoring record in USA basketball history?
Kobe?
Not Kobe.
MJ?
Not MJ. It's a guy who really enjoys having the ball and really enjoys shooting it. And he's been really good at the international level.
Steph Curry?
Melo.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
International ball hog extraordinaire.
I was about to say, because he was on the team that broke the gold medal streak.
I believe he was.
He ended up getting bronze or whatever it was.
His style fits a little better with the international game in some ways. That's why he's been so successful. So Kevin Durant trying to chase down Carmelo Anthony on that list. Congratulations to those Longhorns. I know there's a lot of discussion about Simone Biles and what's going on there, but I thought I'd bring you some good stuff because we've had weird bad stuff with the U.S. teams, whether it's Simone Biles or the women's soccer team or some other stuff. Hopefully everybody can right the ship a little bit. But some good news there, especially if you are a Longhorn fan and an Olympic fan. So those continue. We'll continue to have that Simone Biles discussion. A lot of great text coming in today. If you want to add to it on the Specs text line, everyone seems to have an opinion on this one. 337-3776. It's not new. Anytime in a big sporting event when you have the issue of, did somebody quit? Did somebody, you know, should they have stopped? Should they have done this? Should they have done that? We've had those stories. Yesterday, Trey and I were talking about it off the air. Some of the famous stories in sports of quitting, of stopping. Did you go too far? Did you deal with this in the right way? Whatever. We'll get back into that conversation. Also coming up at 1:30, Trey found a list from The Athletic ranking all NFL, not all, but ranking about 30-35 NFL quarterbacks. I'll tell you where Dak Prescott falls on that list and who's ranked above Dak Prescott on that list. Up next, though, it's Justin Wells of Inside Texas, the very latest on Texas's move, possibly, to the SEC and what impact he sees it having in recruiting. We'll get his thoughts on the whole thing coming up on the Horn.